Get started on your painting project this summer and save big money at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust 5-in-1 Spray Paint lets you choose from 5 unique spray patterns with a twist of the dial, so you can get a professional, corrosion-resistant finish on every project. Save big money on Rust-Oleum Spray Paint now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy Corey.
It's Mystic Dan.
And Della Torre.
That's what's up, man. Corey does run with Della Torre. Same corner, same time, Monday morning. How may it treat y'all, man? Y'all had a good Cinco de Mayo?
I didn't do too much. No partying, no celebrating. I went to a fishing tournament on Saturday morning, ton of fun there, and then got to see my namesake win the Kentucky Derby. Mystic Dan threw out the line on Twitter a couple hours before the Derby, told everybody to bet their house, and we won by nose. So hopefully you guys all heeded my advice and took the 20-1 odds for Mystic Dan to win the Kentucky Derby.
Did you bet the house?
Didn't bet the house.
So you didn't bet take a little bit. Advice.
Bet a little bit.
A little bit. A little bit. Okay.
A little bit.
Somebody's bit. House.
Yep, bet a little bit. I had to call in a favor because a Hard Rock bet does not allow it. I had to call in a favor to a friend of the Derby, and we were able to secure the bag.
At that 20-1, a little bit goes a long way, Silk.
Does.
What was that? Yep.
The odds for Mystic Dan to win were 20-1.
Oh, shit.
So every dollar you bet, you would win 20.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah, we'll talk a little offline. I told Nick. Nick asked. Had a bunch of people wish they would have bet come in my comments after DMs say, hey, Dan, you were right. Grew up around horse racing, been to the Kentucky Derby. Knew it. Sometimes you just know the red colt is gonna take the win, you know?
Yeah, you're just such a cultured guy, man. You went fishing this weekend, know about horses and derbies and, you know, who's going to win first place. Look at you, bro.
I'm telling you.
A distinguished gentleman, man.
I'm telling you. Oh, and I got to play that golf course I was telling you guys about. The Cabot Citrus Farms up in Brooksville. If you are in the greater Tampa area or Florida, I encourage you to take the visit over there. But enough about me. It was a good week. Good week for me. But
Lord, this is the starchiest ironed white collar weekend I've ever heard of from Dan.
Golf was on Wednesday, but yes. Nick Silk.
I can see the Sperry's. I can just envision the Sperry's walking.
No. Sperry's. No. This is driving loafers. Loafers with a big, disgusting premium brand on them. Maybe ridiculous. Even like Gucci patterns.
Okay. Come on.
Loud and gaudy.
Come on. He did win the Derby bet, so you never know, man. You know what I'm saying? A little Gucci.
We can buy a little bit now, so
you can buy most of
drip on the baby.
I call in a favor. Nick, so how was your weekend?
I went fishing, hung out with my son. My fishing wasn't your fishing, bro. I was on the side of a bridge, you know what I'm saying? Didn't have a boat. It wasn't a tournament. We didn't catch shit, so I'm glad it wasn't a tournament. We didn't catch one single thing, but went bass fishing with my son and a cousin of mine that is an avid bass fisher, so he took us to a couple of his holes. But the holes wasn't holding this weekend, man. Didn't catch anything. What else did I do? Brother came into town. Oh, Channing Crowder. I had an interview with Channing Crowder yesterday, which was dope. I wanted to check out the F1 weekend, but kind of got that sprung on me last minute with Channing Crowder, so I didn't get a chance to go down and check out any F1 Miami festivities. Seen it around the city. Super crowded, as usual in Miami, but no vibes for me. Just kicked it, man. But we was out till like 1 a.m. last night, man.
Woo!
Yeah, filming. We wasn't clubbing and partying. We just, after we filmed, hung out, having drinks. You know, the McAllen was heavy. Just vibes, bro. But that's what you got into, Nick.
That I still haven't gotten down there for that F1. I still want to see just how they lay out the track. I mean, like, Dan's probably the same. You're probably the same, too. Still going to games there your whole life. Just I can't imagine where you would build a track around those grounds. But also, they seems like they price a lot of people out.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
That is not an event for us.
It was like 180 to park.
Oh, man. Okay. Do you hear Dan? Dan just goes, that is not an event for two-thirds of this podcast.
No, definitely not for
me. Well, it was for me because who you know matters too, right?
Right. Sure.
So I had some invitations down there, but I was getting some feedback from people that I knew was down there. Like, hey, bro, it's like $180 to park right now.
Yeah.
Move diligently. So
$180 to park. Get out of here. Nick, you watch baseball. This podcast no longer talks about baseball. So, Nick,
retired.
We've retired.
See y'all next season.
Taking our ball and going home.
Yep.
Man, Todd is holding this thing down. Like, he's carrying, like, all the weight around UF right now a little bit.
Yeah. Yep, softball's doing all right. But, yeah, just a kind of a tough little stretch there for Nick's bats and balls, but maybe we'll get him back next year. You know, Caglione still has a chance to win some awards, go high in the draft. But outside of that, Nick, I mean, just an absolute opportunity to win the series and then just get run rolled is nasty work.
I spent a lot of Sunday going deep into the Kendrick Drake back and forth.
Man. Yeah.
Got my history lesson like all the way back to 2009.
Firing for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, they're not the same. They're not in the same lane.
Whatsoever.
Drake is I like Drake's music. It's commercial. It's hip hop. Kendrick is hip hop.
Yeah.
Like Kendrick is old school hip hop. He's like, he's a rapper's rapper.
Fact. How far did you go? I know that everybody came to listen to the Gators, but I too invested myself with probably about 2 hours worth of watching videos and reading articles. Did you go all the way back to the Drake, Kendrick Lamar, ASAP Rocky?
Yes.
All the way back. Okay. Yeah. I mean, this is 15 years in the making.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Drake's basically just like trying to sun Kendrick, being like, I took you on my tour before anyone knew who you were. But like lyrically, Drake is not going to keep up with Kendrick. And it seems like Drake has tried to squash this for years. And K-Dot's just like, yo, I don't mess with you. I'm never going to mess with you.
Correct.
Hmm.
Correct. Yeah, they're in different lanes. I've been saying this for years in tweets for a long time. I don't know why people compare the two. Hmm. Outside of them just having their own beef, but like to compare their music is just apples and oranges.
Yeah,
Kendrick is more substance and reality, and Drake is have a good time. I love both of those dudes.
Yeah,
but
right.
K-Dot is a different echelon. He doesn't do celebrity stuff. Like, he's hidden, stays home, not in the limelight. He's just in a different world. So it's not a lot of dirt on him, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And in his beef stuff, man, it's a lot predicated on, you know, Drake is everywhere. So it's a lot to pick at. It's a lot to dissect.
But anywho, for hip hop though.
Yeah.
100%.
I knew that there was some beef. I didn't know it went all the way back to accusations of Birdman stealing Pharrell's music. And there's multiple layers here. So fascinating time for hip hop.
But once you get hit with the ghostwriter accusations, which may or may not be true with Aubrey.
That's true.
That's tough to come back from.
I mean,
he came back from it. Like,
let's keep it a buck here. Everybody has ghostwriters. You know what I mean?
Tough
to a certain extent. Like, everybody collaborating in there. But when you look at, you got to give people credit on these albums. So when you go look at the credits and who's getting paid to write, it's a lot of people working with Drake, but there's a lot of people working with Beyonce. There's a lot of people working with Taylor Swift. Like,
yeah, I mean, you just can't sustain just on just only natural songwriting talent, right? You can get far, but to sustain is a whole mess of people around it. But fascinating times. I mean, this is the first big mainstream beef in a long time. Would you guys agree? That's permeated beyond just the hip hop scene, but All right. Well, let's get into the talk. Yeah. I, for one, am not as knowledgeable as I should be. I do want to give a quick shout out because I told him I wouldn't. And he's a Gator fan, listens to his podcast, Florida Raised Fishing Charters in Tampa. If you're ever looking for a boat rental, would encourage you to go to them or a charter. He's a big fan of this show and hooked us up on the fishing trip that we did. All right, gentlemen, it's been a couple days, but we talked about it last week, kind of projected that this was going to happen. The Gators did land interior offensive lineman Jason Zandamela, who transferred from the University of Southern California. He was only there for one semester. So while he counts as a transfer, he did practice with the team. You can kind of include him in that 2024 recruiting class. If you want number one interior offensive lineman in the transfer portal rankings, gentlemen, kind of your thoughts.
Yeah, they do really well with the 2024 transfer portal for the 2024 class. Make that three of them with DeAndre Grimsley. And now Zandamela. I think he's a good player, but I think keeping in perspective, he came here from Mozambique, Africa in 2024 as a rugby player. So you're talking about a
2022, right?
Or 2020, sorry.
Or 2020.
Just started playing football. You're talking about a green prospect. Now, obviously everyone has ranked him very highly. But in terms of can he come in, I saw people saying, can he come in and start right now over Damian George? And I'm like, guys, this is an 18-year-old kid who's been playing football for 3 years. I think he's a future starter, but he's going to be enrolling in summer to then learn the playbook, and he's still young. I think it's a great pickup for Florida for the future, but I don't know how much he helps you this season. But Throw him back on the 2024 recruiting rankings, him, Grimsley, and Robinson, and tell me where Florida's at.
Number seven, I believe.
Number seven is what the streets are saying, which is, looking back, a solid class. Our biggest gripe was offensive line. Mm-hmm. When you look at it now, I think we got two blue chippers in that room in that last class. Defensive tackle got addressed. Jameer Grimsley was a real good get from Bama, swapping over, but people losing their mind over recruiting just self-sabotage at this point. You don't love yourself. Go outside and touch some grass because all of this is very fluid. It's really a roster management situation moving forward in college football. If you miss, you can still communicate with these kids. If you're tampering a little bit, keep the lines of communication open. And when people say, stop recruiting that kid, why are we still recruiting? Because like we're not going to land them. This is why. You never start recruiting the kid to the end. You keep the relationships alive because – that portal, they could be in that joint in a few weeks after enrolling. But good job by the staff, man, for just staying on that kid. I know Florida State was his likely landing spot that everybody thought he was landing last time. Mm-hmm. Ended up at USC. They had to wait a little bit before they could reach out to him because of some sanction stuff. So that gave, I think, us a little head start. But overall, he wanted to be close to Clearwater. You know, I guess Clearwater's a little closer to Africa. But either way, I'll take it, man. I don't think if he's playing in place of Damian George, we got a problem.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Deshaun mentioned it here in the comments. The Gators do grab 3 4-star offensive linemen.
Yes, sir.
Westfall, Marcus Mascall, and Jason Zandamela. So that's been a huge gripe. So however you get them on campus, whether it's through the transfer portal, whether it's through the recruiting class, good wins for Rob Sale. The new offensive line coach, Decoder, right? That's last name?
I don't know.
Nick, name. What's his last name again? DeCoster.
Defensive line coach, you mean?
No, offensive line coach. Rob Sale and Jonathan DeCoster, the two new offensive line coaches. So good group to bring in. Then you add a couple of transfers in there as well. The one from Arkansas and San Diego State.
What name?
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you have a much better room going into this season from a talent perspective than you had entering going into this to this spring. So ultimately Gators grab him. Offensive line looks pretty good from a recruiting perspective. Still want to see Florida get some high blue chip players. I think that Jason Zandamela was the highest ranked interior offensive lineman in the class of 2024. And he definitely was ranked that in the transfer portal rankings, which I've got a question for you guys. What are your thoughts on transfer portal rankings being predicated on just what your recruiting rank was, right? So there are multiple interior offensive linemen in the transfer portal. Jason Zandamella, who glad Florida got, has never played a down of football being ranked higher than those guys. What are you guys' thoughts on kind of these transfer portal rankings?
I don't know how they're measuring it, to be honest with you. Is it like the potential left, years left, stats put on the board, productivity? It's got to be a combination of all of that. But I mean, if you got 1 year and another kid got 3-4 years, I don't know how you rank high or low.
Yeah.
It's difficult. I rankings, I'm cool with it, but sure. I kind of judge it off productivity and just needs of the roster that you're getting. I don't get too hung up in rankings and all of that. If we get a young offensive lineman and in our depth chart, we're missing some guys in that age, freshman, sophomore, and we fill a gap with a talented guy, if he's productive, cool. But I don't get caught up in the rankings, I would say.
Yeah.
What say you, Nick?
Yeah, I don't know how they
speak the company line, Nick.
Yeah, I don't know how they do those rankings.
What they say in the meetings, man? What they tell you?
I'm not in those ranking meetings. So
own three crisis meetings, man. I know y'all have like two a day.
All I know is we caught so much heat for what was that guy's name?
The Jermonta Waller.
Caught a ton of heat because we didn't have him ranked high enough. Say he was a little shorter than everyone else ranked him.
I tell you, the mugshot.
Mugshot didn't even say 6 feet. So,
oh god, man,
didn't see any apology tweets on the timeline.
You can lie on your mugshot too. I don't know why. It's like just from previous experience, I'm just telling you. You can tell them. They don't measure you. They don't have. It's not the combine. It's jail, and they trust people that go to jail to give them the honest truth about their height.
Oh man. So the Gators right now, number 7 ranked recruiting class in the country. So obviously, Nick, you mentioned it. You grab DeAndre Robinson, Jamar Grimsley, and Jason Zandamella from the recruiting class, or from the transfer portal, all class of 2024. Let's kind of look holistically, gentlemen. What do you guys think of where Florida's at with that information being shared with you?
I mean, first off, the class of 24 obviously starts with, you know, DJ Lagway. So much of this class, 2-3 years down the line, will be centered on what DJ Lagway develops into and what he does for the Gators. You can throw in LJ McCray, Miles Graham.
Yep.
I like the class overall. I think you've got some really good potential there. I love Greg Smith. I think Fletcher Westfall, they love Fletcher Westfall. They think he can be a future starting left tackle. Miles Graham Miles Graham was probably the freshman in this class I was most excited to watch in spring camp before the injury. I think you hit on a bunch of spots. And Aaron Childs is a guy. Aaron Childs and Amir Jackson are two guys that I'm looking forward to
seeing. Yeah, and Amir Jackson's not even on campus yet. Yeah.
Yeah. So I like the class overall. I'll let Corey go because I have a question. I'll probably take the conversation in a different direction.
And now you also have 3 offensive linemen in the top 180 overall players in the top 18 overall offensive linemen too. So solid.
Yeah, they addressed my gripe. My gripe was putting Lagway around a bunch of mid, not to call the kids mid, but that's what, you know, it's just lingo. But just you getting quarterbacks like that, you need to put elite kids in front of them, the best talent you can. So they found some guys late afterwards. I think this class got to be the class that saves Billy Napier. You know what I'm saying? I think he's, unless it really falls off the rails this year and we win like 3 games or something, I think he's going to come back, right? Just because of the value on what they put into getting Lagway and a lot of this 24 class on campus, you can't just abandon that. It's just a terrible investment. So I think we see Billy, unless it just goes crazy after this year. And in that 24 class, you got the talent, I think, to play early. Like those kids, we played a lot of kids early last year, a lot of production. This is another class that could play early, fill a lot of needs. That class is talented enough for the offense to be what it is.
Yeah,
I would say, you know, like you need superior players, you need elite players to run what we're running. It's not complex. Lagway is a guy that can elevate the play around him, a dynamic guy that can lead the pocket, do different things in this offense. I think it's the class that could save Billy Napier's career. And if it doesn't, then there ain't no really saving it.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that you guys mentioned a lot of the names. Obviously, we saw Jaden Baugh as well this spring, really right. step out of his ranking as well. Kanan Daniels. But from a linebacker perspective, you got some talent on the offensive line, which, again, you have to project out a few years, right? But you got some impact players at linebacker. You got some impact players in defensive line. You got some impact players at running back. You got a potential impact player at tight end, different than what Florida has on campus right now and how they've been using the tight end. I think from a weapons perspective, wide receiver, I think that Florida obviously struggled this year in terms of being able to get that talent. So that is probably my only big gripe from this class. But overall, you got some players that I think are going to be able to have, you know, some impact. Even, you know, Tank Hawkins, who I just mentioned at missing at wide receiver, I think that it could be an electric punt and kick returner for the Gators. And then we'll see what, you know, happens with TJ Abrams. But I think you got some good depth pieces. I think you've got some players that you can project into the future. Teddy Foster, I think, is one of those guys. And so it's just a matter of how long will this group of coaches be able to coach them?
Yeah, if I had one gripe, I would say size of receiver. I like the explosiveness at the position, but I would have liked more size at wide receiver this class if I had to find one gripe. But overall, I think number seven, we won four games. I think these guys did a good job. Now they got to get over this hump and win us some football games, get back to a bowl. Four losing seasons is going to be tough. So give me seven wins, and I'll continue to lie. Right now, I'm at a neutral spot. What question you had, Nick?
As I'm going through the – it was something Zach and I were talking about. But I was looking through the signing class. Do you think the landscape of college football right now with the transfers – we just talked about Florida getting three guys from the 24 class who – committed, signed, and enrolled in other schools, enrolled early, and are now going to play for Florida in the fall. Is the transfer portal taking away some of the steam or excitement or attention from high school recruiting?
For me,
because hey, we signed someone in January. They went through a week of spring, and we'll see them playing for, you know, Texas next year or something like that.
Yeah, I don't, like I said it earlier, I don't know why people are stressing this. If your program misses in recruiting, then pisses the bed in the transfer portal, then you have like legit gripes. But it's really roster management. I would like our roster management to go after like higher end talent in the transfer portal, those guys that are going to programs to try to like be real big difference makers and not just getting depth chart pieces. We got a couple of those, like Slackman, and even Pearsall was one of those guys that was a difference makers. But I don't know what the hype is about anymore. Like commitments, you talking about signing, like what's a commitment these days? Like, even if you sign a letter of intent, you could be gone the next semester. So I don't sit around waiting on these kids' dates to choose, decide, the videos to drop. When they drop, they commit to the Gators, I cheer. And if they don't, I'd be like, all right, I'll see you next semester, pal.
man.
See if we can get you a second time.
You know, but I guess the good news for Florida is they didn't have anybody transfer out. That was a first semester freshman.
News?
So
I don't know.
No, first semester freshman.
Oh, freshman.
Okay, yeah. I mean, so we're taking wins where we can.
Yeah.
So
how do you guys feel about like?
Shout out to the boys.
I expected at least a couple more transfers. No.
I expect some graduations. I expect some maybe some summer announcements. I think you have to, right? Florida's going to be at with Jason Zandamella, what, Nick, at 85?
I think they're right at 85 now, yeah.
And then so you have Elijah Badger, who we'll talk about here in a second, the wide receiver from Arizona State, expected to visit Florida if he were to commit to Florida.
What's up with him? Somebody saying he was injured at one point, then he ends up still setting up a visit. He has back issues.
I think he's got back issues that he has not wanted to get surgery on, that he's been recommended to get surgery on. I think there was another off-field issue earlier on in his career. So once those two things popped up, I thought,
Florida's out.
Billy's pretty big on nice guys in the locker room.
We need gangsters.
Oh, man. Another six wins on the horizon.
Yeah.
This is a
chess club meet, man. You got to.
I mean, kid's a great player. And someone, I think that's the kind of player that I was thinking about when I said Florida is going to go after an offensive lineman, a tight end, and a receiver in the portal. They've got two of the three. Badger would be the third, but
doesn't seem likely.
What is his back okay? Or does he get on campus, and is it one of those things where it seems to happen to Florida more than other people, but obviously we're paying attention to Florida more than other schools, but like guys get on campus and, need surgery, right now, need this.
With what you got right now, the spring portal is already trash. It's not a whole lot of talent in it. You need receivers, I think, at the spot. Like, and there's not a lot of options. So what is it, a one-year risk?
Yep.
Like if the back doesn't pan out, like what do you really lose? Like not bringing anybody in to me is more detrimental than bringing a guy in with a bad back, you know? Like, it's probably worth the risk. Oh, I don't know. I also don't have the malpractice insurance or anything like that.
Yeah. Harrison would like to see the MRI images. So just send him directly. You can find him on LinkedIn. Just send the MRI directly to him. Don't worry about hip or anything else. Just hack in, right, to the Arizona State Hospital.
Send him straight to Vail.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, you're gonna have to catch him in between lifts, but you know, Harrison's got you covered.
Yeah. Delivered straight to the après ski.
Question here: what's the status of Manny Nunnery? He's in the portal. He's
already talked evaluating greasy options. He's not a good guy. He's definitely not a good guy. Billy not letting him back. He entered the portal. Send out some Instagram posts and tweets. Time to beat feet, my guy.
He's gone. Before we get into the other commitment, anything else on Jason Zandamella, or I think we can finally close the 2024 recruiting class?
Maybe.
While we do that, let's give a quick shout out to our friends over at Home Field Apparel. Visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout. You get 15% off of your order. About 20 different shirts that you can choose with all retro logos for the University of Florida, about 100 other schools. Maybe your mother went to a different school, the University of Florida, and you want to get her a sweet t-shirt for Mother's Day, which is on Sunday. It's a good reminder if you haven't gotten your card, flowers or gift for your mother or mother in your life, go visit homefieldapparel.com or go visit your local CVS. But you can use Stadium and Gale checkout and get 15% off of your order. Two quick announcements here, University of Florida related and athletic department related for one of them. I want to congratulate Fred Taylor, who graduated from the University of Florida this weekend. He is one of three UF Athletic Hall of Famers that graduated this weekend, including Dudley Hart and Brandon Spikes. Dudley Hart has been very involved with the golf program at the University of Florida. Grant Holloway, Mike Rivera, Trinity Thomas, Parker Valby, Graham Mertz, Damian Pierce, all graduates this weekend as well. 99 student athlete graduates from the University of Florida this weekend. Derek Wingo on that list as well from a football perspective. So congratulations to all of those folks.
And one more shout out to Naquan Wright.
Yes.
I think from talking to him, and if I'm misspeaking, I apologize, but I think he was first or second in his family to even go to college. He graduated with an undergraduate degree from Florida and just walked over the weekend at USF with a master's degree. That is making the system work for you.
100%
came to school to play football, and you're leaving with multiple degrees. So shout out to Naquan Wright.
Breaking Absolutely. Generational curses, man. That education is super valuable, man. That's a level up in his whole lineage. So shout out to that for sure.
All right.
I'll football so much sometimes, bro. Like them degrees is still worth a lot of money if you go and apply yourself and do the right things in life, bro. You know, nobody loses here.
Bro, knees and ankles have a lifespan. Sure. They start creaking, they tear. That diploma stays on the wall forever.
That's right. 100%. That's right. I also want to give a shout out to Shans, who has done their first ever human clinical trial for four adult patients of an mRNA cancer vaccine, which has reprogrammed the immune system to attack glioblastoma, which is the most aggressive and lethal form of a brain tumor. So congratulations to Shans for that really cool announcement that they had over the weekend.
I thought you stopped.
No, you go ahead.
Q Lee, I like your comment. He said, we need dreadheads and gold teeth guys that listen to Kodak Black and Boss Man D-Lo with gangster attitudes on the field. I second that sentiment. And I also, like, I was doing some research myself. I was just like, when the last time we recruited a kid that has kids?
Gervon Dexter?
Tyreek Sapp, I think. But he got those kids on campus. I'm talking about a kid that has kids, like 16 years old.
Nick, go find that out for us.
Yeah.
Bring him back next week.
I don't know.
Send a mass text message, everybody.
That's not an on three eval.
I don't know if that should be included in the
ranking.
It should.
You get 100 spot increase.
Yeah, don't know if that's part of the eval.
It should be. You gotta feed the fan, man.
Who's the offensive lineman that transferred to Arkansas?
Josh Braun.
He had kids.
Who, Braun?
Deshaun saying that we need help. yeah, I mean, if this is your first indication that this podcast needs some mental help, then
when we get to the point where the players only facility has a daycare, then we're gonna start back winning games, man. I'll be honest with y'all.
split time at the IMG 7-on-7 catching touchdowns and changing diapers on the sideline. Well,
yeah. Forget the 40. That's time these diaper changes.
Oh my God. All right. So also not long after Jason Zandamella, it happened right before his commitment, the Gators grabbed 2025 defensive lineman Jeremiah McLeod from Gadsden County High School from Havana, Florida. He is a three-star defensive lineman, 6'3", 280 pounds, previously committed to Mississippi State, picked Florida over LSU, West Virginia, a number of other schools as well. But gentlemen, your thoughts on Jeremiah McLeod, who I can imagine, and from what I've heard, is going to have his ranking likely increase here in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, he should explode up the rankings. Good get, panhandle kid. So, like, I'm just curious if we could keep him in the fold. I don't know what his interest level is in Florida State, but that's going to be one we got to battle for to the end. I do know what's the defensive line coach? He like the fish.
Gerald Chapman?
Florida State's?
Oh, Florida State's.
Odell, yeah. He's washed on the trail. So we may be able to hang on to this guy towards the end. I told you guys.
John Papuchis was his recruiter at Florida State. He's their special teams coordinator and defensive ends coach. Looks like a goober.
Game changers.
But 100% good, great get. Trenches, you know, stand on part of last year so far. I do want to see this class pick up some, get some more, but you know, it don't even make sense to get excited, man. The real recruiting starts in November. What do you think about this get, Nick?
Yeah, it's May. we were just talking about like how excited can you get about recruiting? Like, Florida's class doesn't have a lot, but like it's May. I think it's early. Like you said, it's Havana's up there in the Panhandle. That's Seminole country. Can you hold on to them? But like, I think some people were looking at like star rankings, and one thing I'd give this staff credit for, they've had some great evaluations. We talked about that last week with Jaden Ball. This staff can evaluate. They like breaking down film. They like doing that stuff, sitting in dark rooms, watching huddle, We've gotten a chance to like see the process, and they have a very, very thorough process of breaking down film and all that. So I don't concern myself too much with the stars that they're offering or landing, especially in May before, you know, these kids go on their summer camp tour, and all the guys that give stars out, see them up close.
Do you know what Chapman's feedback is on the trail so far? He's a young guy. I know he was celebrated and hyped up for what he did at the level he did when he was recruiting. He's a recruiting coordinator and whatnot. Like, what's the feedback and reputation he's getting from these kids?
I think it's good. I think it's good so far. And then also another thing I think with him is early on coming to this level, just let other schools know, like getting a commit early. Just let other schools know, like, hey, I'm going to be here in your area, and I'm going to be a problem on these recruiting streets. So I think the feedback's been positive. You're going to have to like to be coached hard. So we'll see this generation if they like being coached hard. But every time I'm out of practice, I'm like, this is an Army drill instructor. Like, he is loud.
Straight shooter.
Straight shooter, loud. I remember he got on the guys for like taking a knee in between sets, getting a sip of water. Asked him like, "Did I tell you to sit down?" I'm like, "Oh man,
who told you to get thirsty? Who told you to get thirsty? You got thirsty?"
Yeah, man, he's intense. He is an old school defensive line coach for sure.
It's like camping. He's intense. Who would you most like to
bars, man? Who are you, Lil Wayne? Who are you,
I mean, man? You might see that in the next Kendrick drop.
Might.
Kendrick would never allow that.
I mean, Drake goes right. You don't think so?
No.
Patrick, Elijah Badger. We talked about him a few minutes ago. We are still waiting on a date that it has said that he is going to visit Arizona and Florida, but I don't know if there's anything more about that as of this exact moment at 10:52 a.m. on Monday, May 6th. Which coach, Nick, you've been out there a lot for your playing style, which we knew how that ended. Who would you most want to be coached by? Obviously not Gerald Chapman. Or do you need a Gerald Chapman? What kind of coaching did you like? Did you like being kind of the stern drill sergeant type? Do you prefer the more players coach, the more Ron Zook type, you know?
I like the players coach more. My high school baseball coach was a former Navy SEAL. Love that. College coaches were players coaches, but like stealing our dip at practice. That kind of player's coach. I'll go with Will Harris.
Will Harris, all right.
A coach that, listen, didn't like the way you were talking to me in meetings, and now you're allowing us to tackle you in practice. That. Go with Will Harris.
All right. So what kind of coach did you like? You don't have to name a name. I mean, I know you're not out there the same way that Nick is.
I like the Will Harris one. Trying to think around the staff, personalities. I like Will Harris. I like the energy he brings to the DB room. So I'll probably go with Will Harris. It's hard not to go with him. But yeah. My favorite coach growing up was my high school coach. Was offensive coordinator. I didn't play a lot of offense, but in the action, he was a very laid-back, sarcastic guy. He was an asshole, though. Like, wasn't riled up, but he would be a dick to you, but in a very clever way. It was just very funny, you know what I'm saying, and strict and all that shit, but it wasn't rah-rah. It was just being an asshole and very chill, so.
Love that. Love it.
He used to annoy me at first, like, and I used to be like, what the fuck? Why does he got a problem with me, man? And then I started getting this person down, like, all right, yeah.
He's just got a problem with everybody, but not really a problem with anybody, right? He's got a problem with everybody, but no problem with anybody, yeah.
Correct. It's just, he was wired a little backwards, that's all, man. Came through the exit.
What's Russ Callaway like, Nick? I know the players like him.
Yeah, he can get fired up. Very detail-oriented. I think he's kind of like Billy in that sense. He's obviously teaching a different position group, so he'll get a little bit louder at practice. Mm-hmm. I think if I were a quarterback, though, I would like the combination that they have with Ryan O'Hara, who, of course, as an analyst, is not coaching.
Right.
I wouldn't say that he's coaching, right? Because by NCAA rule, he can't be coaching.
You're not a TV show. You know, NCAA got bigger things on their hands than
but his insight, I think, and his encouragement, which he's allowed to give while on the football field, I think the quarterbacks really appreciate. Mm-hmm. I think him, Billy, and Russ can talk a ball with the quarterbacks as well. So I think Florida's got a really good system that should be attractive to quarterbacks. It clearly is. I mean, they've only gotten one of the guys to campus, but 3 years in a row they've gotten commitments from elite quarterbacks. So like the system they have in place is clearly attractive to some of the best quarterbacks in the country. Billy's definitely detail oriented, but you're not going to hear him really raise his voice to the quarterbacks. I've heard him raise his voice to the team in practice, but with the quarterbacks, it's kind of more of a teacher. Even after a bad play, hey, what did you see? Mm-hmm. Why did you make that decision? Let me know what you saw and what led you to that decision, because it clearly was the wrong one. And if you can tell me your thought process, we can break that down and change it. I think he's a really good quarterback teacher.
Well, you guys, it's been a lot of like positive press. Cole Kublik, a few of the guys from On3, has been a lot of positive press.
Yeah, Josh Pate.
Correct, Josh Pate. You know, guys pushing some good information and just good vibes right now from Florida, and saying the team may be better than what people are thinking. I'm not buying into any hype. I got to see it on the field. But what do you guys think about the team that's on paper right now, and like the vibes of what you're hearing?
Then that's spring football. Like Josh Pate was just on campus. You know, got the red carpet rolled out behind the scenes. So everything he's telling you is what the coaches are saying. And then I'm sure Cole's always locked in. I'm sure the stuff that he said on his podcast is stuff that we hear from the coaches on and off the record. So the spring is always live, a time of positivity. Yeah. And I just put out my power rankings of the offensive positions, and I still have the offensive line the lowest on my rankings. The coaching staff thinks that they're deep, and like everything that Cole said about Florida's offensive line, he thinks that they're too deep at some positions or too deep all the way across the line. Like that's what Florida's staff is telling me, but Florida's staff was very high on the offensive line at this time last year. And granted, you had to have your left tackle play through injuries the whole year. You lost your starting center, but I think you found a player who was better than your starting center, who ended up proving that. So spring is a time of optimism. Nobody looks bad in the spring, unless they hit the transfer portal. Then they've been a cancer in the locker room, and they don't care about the school and all of that.
Well, you also, those guys got unfettered access to the football program, right? So you're gonna probably hype. You know, I'm sure the last thing Josh Pate would do after he gets a sit down interview with Billy Napier for what, an hour or 30 minutes, however long it was, to go and trash that program, because I think that's the last invite that he would get. Not saying that I disagree with him, and I think that Josh has made some good assertions of the people that are kind of your talking heads, if you will, of non-ESPN when you cover college football. I think that he has some of the better prognostications and at least more analysis. Cole Kublik, I take his opinion pretty highly. But again, I think it all depends. We've talked a lot about it. Depends for Florida on the offensive line, and then they just have a killer schedule. So it's not an impossible schedule, right? We've talked about on the show, there's 8 or 9 programs that are replacing their quarterback. Some things might go wrong. You have injuries to deal with. You have a whole mess of things that could happen to either, you know, put Florida in the driver's seat of their own future or to derail their season. So at the end of the day, I think it's going to depend on what happens, you know, obviously in the fall, but you know, I'm not buying into the hype right now. It's hard until I see something on the football field to buy me into that in from an improvement perspective Florida just has a lot of improving to do. Not saying that it can't happen. They don't necessarily have the guys to not do that, but it's going to take a very big leap forward from a personnel perspective, but probably more importantly for me, from a coaching perspective, right? Can we get 11 guys on the field every time? Right.
Yeah. No,
can we do a better job with clock management? Those things I care about far more than just, you know, what bodies do we have on the football field?
Yeah. That's the small things like that this spring. And also injuries. We weren't healthy this spring. That was a thing last year when we got into our two deep. Our two deep is better this year, and especially at DB, linebacker. Like, overall talent is definitely up. We still going to be somewhat young, and that's not going to be a good excuse because of the transfer portal. You can supplement that problem. So that's what I'm just skeptical of is the health. We had a lot of guys just nicked up, banged up, especially in offensive line. I can't feel good if I don't have my five working together, creating chemistry together, you know, and gelling with each other the entire spring. It's hard for me to be optimistic and always optimistic, but it's hard for me to lie like Josh Payton and the boys is doing right now.
No, absolutely. With that being said, we talked a little bit about the NCAA. We glossed over the word NCAA, and I wrote it down here. Probably much to the happiness of much of this group chat, and definitely to the online Twitter world, Linda Teeler, who's been an associate athletic director at the University of Florida for a very long time, has accepted a new job as the senior VP of championships, I believe is the title, for the NCAA. So Scott Strickland will have the opportunity to bring somebody else on to his staff as an associate athletic director. So I know a lot of you guys don't trust Scott Strickland to hire people. You have your own beef with Scott Strickland, but he'll have an opening, and I'm sure they'll attract some highfalutin names that will be – everybody will be gung-ho about the improvement that will be. We've always had a great relationship with Linda Teeler on this podcast in terms of some of the access that she's given us. I got the chance to work with her when I was at the University of Florida for a little bit as well. Always thought highly of her, but congratulations to her on her new role with the NCAA.
I'll be interested to see how athletic associations trim. Texas A&M just fired a bunch of people from their athletic office, some senior people as well. Their athletic director came out and said this is not because we're paying Jimbo in actual Bitcoin and Egyptian gold to not coach our football team, but they see down the line, and what we're, I think, even more quickly moving towards is like a revenue share with the athletes. And I think if you haven't positioned yourself, if you work for a university and you haven't positioned yourself where you're directly working with or affecting student athletes, then your job might be one that is obsolete pretty soon, or one that ends up getting cut. So it seems like some people, like Linda's job was important. She handled a lot of the contracts. She ran the Title IX investigations. Linda Teeler did a ton of stuff, but she didn't really deal with day-to-day players. I think people that are in the NIL space, people that are doing content, I think that makes sense. But there's a lot of jobs that maybe they won't be jobs in 5 years.
Or a change in jobs, right? The type of person that might be in that role.
Yeah.
You know, I know the NCAA is discussing a pay for play model. I don't imagine that the NCAA will provide any swiftness when it comes to doing that, but it's out there. There's a framework.
Yeah, that part of that, I think Ross Dellinger was one that that put it out there. He said bowl season director Nick Caparelli told Ross that he expects NIL to soon become in-house and for athletes to sign binding compensation contracts with schools that would require them to play in bowl games, including the college football playoff games, eliminating or greatly reducing opt-outs. And if you're talking about signing players to contracts like that in an NIL way, then that sounds to me like an employee-employer relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully there's some positives that come out of that employee-employer relationship. I know that there's going to – everybody's going to go to the negative part of it of, oh, you can get fired and everything else. It already kind of exists, but hopefully, you know, we can include some better health care coverage and things of that nature moving forward as well.
Here's the thing. I think, like, even you think it's going to be a blanket agreement type thing with all universities having the same agreements with the athletes, with the bowl opt-out and all that? Because if not, the program that's more player-friendly with those contracts are likely going to win. Recruiting changes a little bit if you get into, like, contract negotiations like that. I think that's a big thing. And if I'm a certain type of player, like, I'm going to want to opt out if I got bowl games. And I'll just pay that when I get to the NFL, whatever that contract breach may be. But that's going to be interesting to see how all that plays out. I think just NIL is just making this, like, recruiting even, like, especially at quarterback position, like, it's different. Like, the Antoine Hill kid in the Memphis thing, I think it's, like, crazy. Like, a kid of that caliber, like, they're really in it, and they got real NIL bread. And we already said what a transfer portal is. That kid be crazy. Mm-hmm. Well, any kid would be crazy not to just go out there, like, generationally changing money to go sit on the bench at a school. And if it don't work out, the coach get fired. Whatever happens, I can just go elsewhere, bro. I think
another bag waiting in the portal.
Yeah.
Maybe even a bigger bag.
Correct.
Yeah. What Silk is talking about is FedEx and the University of Memphis agreed on a 5-year, $25 million NIL play. That was coordinated, I believe, by Lars Veach, who was a former assistant athletic director for University of Florida. Well, I'm sorry?
Laird
Veach, sorry. He is now the athletic director at Missouri. So not a lot to do in Columbia, Missouri, in terms of major corporations. But yeah, I mean, Memphis, $25 million. That's a hell of a lot of money. Even $5 million a year is a hell of a lot of money that most schools would absolutely fawn over. So we'll be curious to see if schools like that, schools that are in your more major metro areas, right? You know, that have a connection back to the university and want to continue to do that PR. You know, you think of your Memphises and your Louisvilles and your Austins and your LAs and Columbus and Cincinnati and, you know, some of these other cities that are more than just college towns, you know, there certainly could be a bigger play there as these universities try to tap into whatever resources they can as NIL continues to be the most predominant factor right now in recruiting for the most part, or at least a 1A, 1B with development.
If it's me, you want me to come to Memphis, need to be Antoine X. Like, come here. FedEx got to come through. It's Memphis, baby. Like, I ain't really trying to go up there and vibe like that, but I get it.
All right. Let's see. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Nah, man.
Nick, I think you have Song of the Week.
I'll look that up. If you are in Gainesville, I know we're not talking baseball anymore. Oh, but shoot.
Yes.
Likely the last time, listen, Florida's not going to host a regional. So, this weekend, Florida hosts Kentucky, SEC leading Kentucky, which is not a statement anybody who follows college baseball would have said before the year. But it will be, for all intents and purposes, the last time you get to see Jack Caglione in a Gator uniform playing at Condren Ballpark. So if you're in Gainesville or around the area and you want to see Jack, give him a hat tip, pay your respects. Last time he'll be solid. In orange and blue playing at home this weekend.
Solid, man. What day of the week is that?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I think they play on Mother's Day. Yeah, I think they do.
It is Mother's Day weekend.
It'd be nice to leave all Gator mothers with a win that day. Not going to hold my breath, but.
I was thinking about going, but it won't be nice to leave my house.
No. Mother's
Day weekend.
Locks will be changed by the time you come back.
Yeah. By the time I get out the driveway, like, as soon as I'm packing my bags, the locksmith will pull up, bro.
You're passing the locksmith in the driveway.
Yeah, whole New York cam and all. They just change everything. Changes
Friday 6:30, Saturday and Sunday at noon. Back to back.
Bring your sunscreen. Bring a fan. Scorcher out there.
Mother's Day is gonna be passed by the time we have our next show. So, are you? First of all, Nick, are you doing Mother's Day's gifts with the wife?
I got her. I got her something already.
What'd you get her?
Not gonna say that.
Ah, man,
she listens.
she doesn't listen, but the husbands of people she works with at the hospital listen.
Yeah, the boys she, gonna hate on you. Like, you think they're gonna go drop game?
No, no. I think she'll just find out.
Oh, okay.
I think she'll just find out. One of her husbands, or one of my wife's husbands.
One of her husbands? Your wife got a work husband?
No. One of the one of her friend's husbands actually told his wife, who works with my wife, that hey, I think Nick's proposing this week. The wife didn't keep it. The wife didn't pass along the information, but there's definitely ops. Yeah. And leaks.
Yeah. Man, you got some people that aren't looking out for you, Nick.
So, you know, this is probably how Drake feels.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Yeah, leaking info. All right, let's give a quick shout out. If you are watching on YouTube or you're going to watch us before 6 p.m. Today, May 6th, Alumni Hall is hosting a meet and greet with Ty Evans, Colby Shelton, and Tyler Shelnut. They're doing free autograph posters. Plus, they will have all your Gators baseball gear, baseballs, anything that you might need or want to be signed. No purchase is required. They will take photos and they will sign autographs for all fans at Alumni Hall on Archer Road. If you are unable to make it, you can still go to alumnihall.com, or the next time you are in Gainesville, swing by Alumni Hall and get anything that you'd want for the Gator fan in your life. Anything from t-shirts to polos to accessories to grilling supplies and anything in between. AlumniHall.com or Alumni Hall on Archer Road in Gainesville, Florida.
Yeah, we're running down on Miami, George. I see you in the comments. Nathaniel Rogers is an absolute terrorist, bringing up Asa Martin. Haven't seen that name in a little while. Like, what a throwback.
I think he's talking, I think he probably meant Asa Turner. Yeah, I think okay. That's probably what Nathaniel Rogers was hoping for there. But I can see why. Asa Martin, yeah. Big name. Appreciate their Q Lee. I mean, we were talking KRS-One versus Busy Bee and Rakim and Big Daddy Kane.
Yeah, they got great nostalgic, depth. Man. Yeah, I almost jumped in. We were talking good football talk, but I almost jumped in. Like, yeah, NWA are like architects and founding fathers of battle rap. They really are. Absolutely. They started a lot of this. Anywho, let's not get too. It's not a rap show.
Yet. All right. Nick, you have Song of the Week. And then we'll get you guys out of here. Appreciate everybody for listening. Make sure you hit the like buttons, hit the subscribe button. Follow us on all social media platforms, even TikTok. We're there for the next, I don't know, 75 days or so until that gets shut down. Nick, let us know what your song of the week is, and we'll get you guys out of here.
I'm on my dad vibe today. We got the anatomy scan this afternoon, so I think that'll bring things into perspective for me. I'm going to go with Cody Webb. Don't grow up too fast.
Cody Webb.
Oh, I thought you said don't pull up too fast. I'm like, yeah, that's a thing.
Don't pull up too fast either. Yeah, that wasn't Nick's issue and why he's going to the thing. Anyway, so, all right, guys, we will see you at the same corner, same time next week. Appreciate you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
When you find out you're going to be a dad, 9 months goes by way too fast, and you didn't know what you didn't have till you have it. And then you're losing sleep, staying up all night. Can't believe how much she cries, but every tear and every smile makes you fall a little deeper. I never thought I could love like this, I guess. Every star and every wish came true when I first held you. So grow up and be who you're gonna be. I'll be right here, anything you need. The only thing I ask is don't grow up too fast. I had a dream you were 17, and you had some guy you wanted me to meet. All I know is I think I squeezed a little harder than I should've when I shook his hand. There'll be times you think I'm mean, that shirt won't work, go change those jeans. I'm old, uncool, and don't know a thing, but someday you'll understand. I never thought I could love like this, I guess. Every star and every wish came true when I first held you. everything you need. Only thing I ask is don't grow up too fast. Spilled milk and training wheels, and daddy, he's the one. That day giving you away, I'm coming undone. So grow up and be who you're gonna be. I'll be right here, anything you need. The only thing I ask is don't grow up too fast. It goes by too fast.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.